Probably 3 or 4 on the street begging for money.
That beautiful house that I want, my job is not going to get me that. Nobody's going to do it for you. They pay cash. cash on the table. Jupon is the one that's going to get me to where I want to go.
When she loves something, she becomes obsessed that any other thing doesn't exist except that thing.
Is that time, Makaesu?
Okay,
Molweni makhaya, ninjani? Sesibuyile apa ku radio 2 point.
Yo, that's a very long story. But we met 2011. Mm-hmm. I was working, I was doing promotions at a club. So that's where you saw me.
Definitely, that's where I saw you.
Yes, so what happened is you sent me a text on Facebook.
Yeah, but you didn't speak about what happened there.
Oh, you came to me and asked for my number and I refused, obviously, because we're at the club. So there are like a lot of men there. So I can't just trust anybody. So you asked for my number and then I refused. I don't know how you found me on Facebook, though.
No, basically what happened is that the way you're saying it, I was there with my friends. We are from a studio session, and then we were sitting there having a few drinks, and then you were there with, I think there was like two of you and the guy. You guys were busy promoting and you came to our table. But before you came to our table, when you were walking to other table, and then I told my friend, like, yo, look at that woman right there. And then your smile, you know, so your smile like always has that thing for me. So when you came to the table to tell us more about the product that you were selling, then I asked for your number. Then you refused.
Of course.
And then you had a name tag. So I asked for your name. Then you told me your name, but then there was also a name tag. So then I just asked you, so what's your surname? And then you told me, no, I'm too far, so glad. Then I was like, okay, so you're not going to give me your number? And you said, no. Then I was like, okay, it's fine. Then that's how it ended. And then I think 2 days after, then I was like, hey, man, that lady that I saw, let me just check her on Facebook. Then I typed the search. And then I said, Tsikhufatso. And at the time, I couldn't really spell Tsikhufatso because I'm Xhosa. So, you know, so, but then I saw the Tsikhufatso Tladi. And then I saw your picture there. I was like, okay. So, and then I DM'd you. And then I think it took like a day or two, I think. Then you responded.
Yeah,
then you responded and then you started talking. I can't remember really what you said, but then you started talking and then the following week, and then you visited me. The whole weekend we were together. So that's the whole story. That's how it started.
Yeah, I remember.
And you're supposed to come for one day, but I don't know what happened. Then you ended up
the whole weekend.
Yeah, so yeah, man. So
no, I think I remember why it was the whole weekend. Remember, I was working on weekends, and where I was working is it was like closer to where you were staying.
Yeah.
So it was convenient for me to actually come to you, because I remember very well. I used to actually struggle with transport going back home because I used to stay like in Mabopane.
Yeah.
So it was like a bonus for me because you were like near. I was like, let me just go sleep there. So yeah, that's how that's where it's actually started.
No, it was good.
But I think what attracted me about him was that he was very humble. He was very different to how other men would actually approach you. So I remembered that actually when he actually inboxed me and we were speaking there, or oh, it's that guy. So yeah, I think that's what made me comfortable, his approach, he was very gentle. With me, I was everywhere because there was a point because my mom and my dad were not together. So there was a point where I left with my dad to Polokwane. So I first schooled around Pretoria. Then I left with my dad to Polokwane. I did my matric, my grade 9, grade 10 matric there. Then after I finished matric, that's when I came back to Pretoria again. And I think the reason why, because we broke up, remember? Mm. I think the reason why is because the distance. I was in Polokwane and you were here. Mm. So I think what caused that was the distance as well. So that's what we actually separated. I think I was very young. And there was just a lot going on, and also with me, I think I was as young as I was, there was so much going on, and the distance, like I said, it also contributed to the breakup because I was most of the time in Polokwane. I used to only come back during school holidays, so yeah, that's what caused the breakup.
No, Maish, the breakup, it was hard, eh? Because I remember, because I think we dated for like 6 months.
Mm.
And then the following year, then things started not going well because then she was that side and then she would come this side. Actually, in December, she left. Yeah, and then came back January. And at that time, we were also still young. So probably... also, things happened that side for her, or things happened this side for me. We never know, but you know, it happened, and then 7 years later, then we reunited. Was it 7 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 7 years later, and then we reunited, and then we got married. The first time I realized that she was the love of my life, I think it was the first time I married her, like as I said like earlier, that when she came through, like there was something about her smile that always when I would see the smile, I could feel peace, you know. And the first time she treated me, you know, there was that humbleness, there was that respect, you know. So that made me to say, you know what, this is a woman that I want to be with. Because these are the main elements that would make a woman to dwell in my heart, is the respect and the love that she would then share with me. Yeah, so, yeah. But what made you to say, you know what, this is my husband?
Okay, but I always tell you though, like, you know, when we finally reunited, I've been praying, because obviously we go different relationships, we meet different people, different characters, and I was not happy at all. So me, I'm a very prayerful person. So when I pray, I think I was very specific. And when you came back, I knew that you are the person who is going to marry me, because I remembered, this person. And then going back to what I was praying about, I knew who you exactly that, you know. So everything that I was praying for, because obviously during my other relationship I was not happy at all. So with me praying, and when you came back, then I remembered, okay, I think this is going to be my husband, because he is exactly what I was praying about.
You know what is very interesting is that the first time I inboxed you, right? I DM'd you. The second time, you DM'd me.
Oh, so the first... Oh, yes. On Facebook, yes. And I remember you even came back to me and say... because I remember I DM'd you. I said hi, and I kept quiet. Ne?
Yeah.
For, I think, a week or two. Mm. Then you were like, what were you saying? I think I was very shy to talk. But yeah, eventually we spoke, and we even... met,
yeah, and then we exchanged numbers. Then
we started talking.
Yeah, I started talking, and then I remember driving to Mabopan or
Mabopan.
Mabopan,
yeah.
Yeah. Then I drove to Mabopan. Then I saw you. Then like, This is it.
And the second time you came, you gave me a promise ring. You were like, "Hey, she's not going anywhere anymore."
Yeah. No. Like. I always say, like, the it's important to know what you want.
Mm.
And when you find it, don't let it go. Because sometimes you never get the second chance to get it, you know. So it's very important. So when I saw him, like, no, this one, I'm closing the deal. Based on my background, I lost my mother when I was still, I think I was 11.
Mm.
And me growing up, I was so naughty. And most of the people, they're like, it's impossible for me to be that naughty, the way I describe it, based on the person that I am now.
Mm.
But I was so hectic. And even the people that knew me then, when they see me, like, is it you? Is it this? You know, like, they get confused because I was so naughty. And from that moment, like, as I grew up, like, when my mother passed away, then I realized, you know what? The more time I spend outside and not acknowledging the ones who are close and who love me, then I miss an opportunity to show them love.
Mm.
And when I realized that my mother was gone, you know, and I couldn't make her prouder, I couldn't be in a position where I would buy her a house or do anything for her because she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from that time, and then I knew that, you know what, whatever opportunity I get, if this is what I want, I'll go for it.
Mm.
And never live in regret.
Yeah.
Because regret, you will never recover it. It's gone, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's where I learned that lesson.
Mm.
That when I saw this woman, then I'm like, what, I'm gonna just grab her. Because the first time I lost her, then the second time, then it should be, I should just grab her, you know.
Mm.
My upbringing, it's, I think it's in three folds. So my dad is Xhosa and my mother was Zulu. So I stayed in the Eastern Cape, and then something happened between my mother and my dad. Then when they broke up, then I had to, or rather my mother had to then leave, and he took me with to KZN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then in KZN, probably I stayed for probably, let me just say, 5 years there, right? And I was so hectic there. As I'm saying, like, I was so naughty.
Mm.
At that time, I don't, like, probably was like three. Probably was three or like four, like my son's age. And I'd be on the street begging for money, doing all these things.
Mm.
I was away, like, probably for like 6 months. Like, imagine, like, a 4-year-old away from home.
In the streets.
In the streets.
Yeah.
What do you know it for years, you know? And at that time, it was a time of the apartheid in those days, you know? Yeah, but then, and then in 1995, then I moved to Joburg. Then I used to stay in Yeovil. Yeovil used to be like a suburb. Like, to the 2000s, like, if you see, like, Yeovil now, you wouldn't believe, like, Yeovil used to be a suburb. Like, used to be a very beautiful place.
Now it's something else.
Yeah, now it's something else. Now it's like a north, if you've been in Joburg. Yeah, so I grew up there. And then from there, and then I moved to a place called Orange Farm. Is it Orange Farm? No. Fos Loras.
Oh, yes.
And then I stayed in Fos Loras because of, I was naughty. And so my mother then moved me to say, no, go stay with your uncle. That said, maybe because of I'm not there, you'll behave, you know?
Yeah.
And then I stayed there, and then I went to school there for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're like, they brought me back because I was still naughty.
You were hectic.
Yeah, I know, I was hectic. So I ended up at a place called Boys Town. It was a stout school, if I may call it, where boys who are naughty, they would stay. I think that's where my mentality changed. That's where I became a new person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I became a new person. And then I stayed there until from 2000 to 2001, I stayed there.
Yeah.
Then my mother passed away in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to go to an orphanage.
In Mamelodi?
Yes, then I had to go to an orphanage in Mamelodi, and then they took me with my brothers there. Then I grew up in Mamelodi, in Pretoria, in Mamelodi. And then that's when even, like, the business thing started, everything like for me started today because of even at primary, I started selling sweets because I could realize that, you know what, because here, I don't get like money, I don't get, you know, I needed to get buy myself clothes and stuff like that. So I started up, so I ended up buying like stocking sweets and chips and getting other guys to say, listen, I will pay you this much if you also sell these sweets at your school. So I became like a businessman even from there, you know. Then I was selling sweets, I was selling chips. I was selling a yo-yo. I don't know if you use a yo-yo.
Yeah, the yo-yo, yeah.
We used to sell sherbet. I don't know if like the 2000, what is a sherbet?
No, they do. It's
not me. So used to sell, yeah, so I used to do all those things, like, you know. Yeah, so that's actually my background, how I grew up. Yeah, nothing much, man.
I grew up with both my parents, even though they were separated, but I would move around, go to my mom. Sometimes I'm with my dad, so it's a bit different from yours. So with me, where I actually learned to be responsible is after matric. Because after matric, that's when I had to go to university. But remember, I looked for space at Boston, and I got accepted, but I couldn't finish. I actually dropped out because there were no fees. Both my parents couldn't pay my fees. So I had to drop out and go look for something to do, like hustle. Like most of my time I did promotions. I was working retail. I ended up working at hotel. It's the Southern Sun Hotel in Pretoria. That's where I actually started. That was like my first proper job, where I was like, because the other ones I didn't like them because I was always on the street promoting, you know, promotions. You wear those short skirts, they make you wear heels where there's like men everywhere, you are promoting alcohol. So that was very sad. I didn't like it at all, but I didn't have a choice because I had to make money for myself, you know, so that I can buy myself like the things that I wanted, you know, clothes, because I had parents who were at that stage, they were also not doing well. So I had to make a plan for myself. So I think even this being business minded, it started from there, you know. That's when I taught myself, you know what, if you don't do something about your situation, nobody's going to come and save you. You're the only person can actually change your situation. So from there, that's when I started being responsible, you know, doing things for myself, not depending on anybody. So yeah, I think
for me, my lesson from my upbringing and doing all these things is that everything starts with me, you know. So whatever I wanted, I needed to provide it for myself. And I knew that I wanted a better life for myself and for my family. And the only way for me to get there is for me to actually do something about it, you know. So I knew that I could hustle, man. Like from the age of 4 years, 5 years, I could go to the restaurant and go there and ask for money and say, and people would give me money, you know. And, you know, I was never shy in approaching people, you know. I was never shy, and I knew what I wanted, you know. And I knew that if I don't go for it, no one will, you know, give it to me.
Yes.
You know. So for me, I always had a different mindset. I always had a go-getter mindset to say, you know what, I can do this. You know, I want to be a billionaire one day. So for me to be a billionaire, it starts now. You know. So I always have a positive mindset. Say, you know what, even if I wouldn't get it today, but tomorrow I can get it.
Definitely.
If I don't get it tomorrow, the following day I can get it, you know. Because if there's always an opportunity, each and every day there's an opportunity. Yeah, so that's when I learned my lesson. Like, you know what, because even in primary, there was days where, like, you know, almost back then, like in the government school, like you would pay like 50 rand for the whole year. So when I'm selling the sweets, so you would take that 50 rand that you would make and pay yourself for that school fees.
Yeah.
Then you know that you are covered for the whole year, and then you know. So I always find a way to maneuver
to
this
survive.
Life. Yeah, I always find a way to survive. You know. Yeah. So, we've been hustling, man. We've been hustling. You know, even like when you go to varsity, you're thinking like, yo, how am I gonna pay for these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's when then I started, you know what? I like music. And I started making beats. Then I would charge people for beats. I would organize a studio. And then I'd get people to come and record music. And I would take... There was this small... what do you call it? Cameras where we used to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was a place, a Reserve Bank back then, like we used to... There was a waterfall, small waterfall
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so people always used to go there and take pictures. So I'll also go there with my camera and take pictures there. Take pictures and then go and then, you know, and then charge people.
For the pictures.
Yeah, for the pictures and, you know. So I always had the mindset to make money.
When I was at the hotel industry, like those people, they even call me now, hey, because, you know, I used to work shifts, right? So what I used to do is if I'm working for example, a 3 p.m. shift, I would come to work maybe 4 hours before, mm-hmm. and I would go to another department and work with them. You understand? So I used to do that. Like every time I knew, I'm tired of this position. I want to go. To another position, I would go there and volunteer and work on my free time. Like if I'm working in the morning, maybe it's getting in 6 a.m. and I knock off at 3, then after I knock off, I'd go to that department and work with them. So that's where I used to get recognized a lot. They even took me to training because they saw that this person is very hungry. That's what's happening even now at Jew Point. You can see with my results that I'm very hungry. I mean, it's been a year and I've achieved so much with the company because of my hunger. You know, I'm always fighting to succeed, you know, to be out there, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Like one of the things that I liked is that, or rather similar to mine, is that you create your own position.
Exactly.
You create your own opportunity, you know. Mm-hmm. Similar to me, even when I started like loving media and when I was hired as a sound engineer, but then I realized, you know what, I enjoy what they're doing in terms of editing videos, in terms of shooting. And I started spending time with the directors, spending time with the editors. So meaning I'm learning from them, you know.
Yes.
What I mean? They started learning. And then the first opportunity when they wanted someone to edit, I was the first one because of I was doing these things. Even the guys that were doing, they would recommend me because they saw even my work. Like, no, you're good. Then that's when I even started studying it, because when you study, now you have the paper to prove that you're actually good in this thing, you know? Mm. So that's a similar thing that we share in common, that we go for what we want and we create an opportunity for it.
That's true.
You know, we don't wait for anyone to create an opportunity for it.
Yes.
But we go an extra mile.
To get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very important characteristic that we have.
Yeah, you had a clothing brand.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I had a clothing brand called Dynasty Clothing, and I used to produce caps, T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what happened is I used to try and get models to model my clothes, so like get like ambassadors.
Mm.
And at the time, Facebook was still new.
Mm.
And I was using Facebook to actually get people to actually like the clothing and follow the page on Facebook and stuff like that. And people were coming, and I remember I got, was it 3 people, right? The
mm-hmm.
contestants, right?
Yeah.
The finalists were like 3,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to choose one. So the 3, I would take them to the radio stations, community
yes.
radio stations to go.
TUT.
Yeah.
TUT radio station.
Yeah, so I would take them there, and then they'll get interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will ask questions. Why should you be the ambassador of
yeah.
Dynasty Clothing? And then you have to answer. No, me because what? Ish, yeah. So so we come a long way.
Mm.
Yeah, we come a long
definitely.
Way. Yeah, we come a long way.
We even sold biscuits.
Yeah, no. We find a way.
Always.
We always find a way where there's no way. We create it.
I remember the first day I got introduced to Jew Point, ne? I couldn't wait to go home. Like, I couldn't concentrate anymore, ne? Because they gave me information and I went through it. I was like, yo, what? When I got home, you remember?
No, like, I remember.
I was very excited. Like, I was, I don't know. Like, I was even angry with myself. Where was this thing? Where was it? I've been struggling to get that thing, you know? Like, I felt it in my heart. This is it. I felt it.
No, no. Like, literally, I remember, like, when you came to me. I think I was in the kitchen. You're like, baby, yo, look at this. This business, yo, I want to do this. So I'm like, which one? Then you show me. So in my mind, I'm like, this one is like the other one that I tried. This one. You know, but because of how excited
and I was.
You were. So I didn't want to, you know, like...
crush me.
Yeah, you know. So I was like, no, baby, no, it's good. You should do it, you know. You should do it. Because I also believe in supporting, you know. And when someone is excited about something, it's not your job to discourage, you know what I mean? But motivate and see where you can support.
Mm.
Then, you know, so that's what I was doing. I'm like, you know what? This thing sounds like what I've done before and it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's fine. I'm excited for you, you know? Do it. And I remember, and then I was even sending people the information that you were sharing.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was saying, you guys, no, here is an opportunity. People will ask me, like, yeah, I'm like, love, I'm sending this guy to you. Because I didn't want to be answering questions about something that I'm not sure of, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, I remember the passion you have, you know? So one of the things that is important is the passion. You know, it's important to have passion about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you don't have passion of what you're doing, then it's useless for you to do it anyway.
Exactly.
You know, so have passion for it and create purpose in it. Then it becomes your lifestyle. It becomes you. It becomes what you do for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you even ended up joining me, ne?
You know what I mean?
The reason why I got so excited is because I've been praying. I was doing a business. I was selling clothes online. It was not doing well. The profit was very small. It was draining me, right? So I've been praying to God because obviously the work where I was working, the salary was not enough. It was not enough. It was not sustaining me. I used to get very frustrated because it was getting into the, like, you know, the common problem that everybody's having out there. So when I saw what Dewpoint is doing, then I got very excited because I knew it's the business that I've always been praying for. Because at that moment, I was praying and asking God, I'm selling clothes. It's not giving me profit. I used to do like 100 rand every week, or maybe, I don't know, after a long time. So when I came across Dewpoint, I knew that this is because God communicates with us in different ways. So I knew that this is it. Because even my excitement, I was like, it just confirmed for me, this is it. So that's what made me become very excited when I came across Dewpoint and I saw the information. And I actually saw that it's very, I didn't even do research because the information that was given to me,
it was obvious
it's a legit company. Because I think with the information that Ntando sent me, there was a interview from Expresso where they were interviewing Brandon. I was like, obviously they cannot just interview a scheme or a scam on TV, so this is definitely a legit company. So yeah. Okay, when I got my first check, because I remember the first I joined in April, right? And I gathered people together. They disappointed me, so I was supposed to get a check in May, which I didn't, but I kept pushing because I believed so much in the business, because I could see the testimonies. I came to the head office, I saw people being recognized, you know, so I saw myself there. So when I got my first check in June, which was 5,000, then that's, I was like, yo, I'm going to fight for more. I remember I was hoping for a 10,000 check, but I actually got a 5,000 check, but that got me very excited.
I remember.
Yes.
Baby, look. This is real.
And I got it on the 17th. Remember where I was working, we used to get paid
a month end.
And on the 17th, Mampara week, I got a 5,000 check. I was very excited. I was very excited. So I pushed even harder. I pushed even harder so that I can get more checks. That's why you see me getting 15,000 only. I don't want to settle for less now. So yeah.
Yeah, no man, the sky is the limit. I think it's the mindset. Because for me, the moment that I saw that 5,000 there, then I knew. I'm like, you know what? And I always told you that I know that anything that you do becomes a success because you put your heart and soul into it, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. So even those biscuits where you were getting a 20 cent profit, but
I was pushing them.
But you're pushing. You know, so I knew like, nah, there's a potential here,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and then the other time, and then the one that actually hit the nail for me, it was the car.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you know, there's money here.
The car.
I was like, yeah. You know, I was like, you know what? Let me just say thank you to my wife because she's the one that said, you know what, join, and then let's push this thing together and then be able to actually create wealth together, you know?
Mm.
So then I joined, you know what I mean? So if I didn't join, we wouldn't have gotten the car.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
So it was meant for me to join so that get the car.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So yeah. So that's where I saw there's a huge potential here.
Yeah. Okay, I remember the day we came for the launch when Rob opened that curtain and I saw a beautiful blue Kaiga. Yo! Yo, I saw, yo, like, I imagined myself having the car. I was very excited. Like, it's a beautiful car. It was big, you know. I thought of me, my family, fitting in there. It's spacious. It's a spacious car. You know, I've always wanted a new car because of, you remember, I used to always complain about my Picanto, you know. So I've always wanted a bigger car. So I just imagined myself having it, Jay. So I just told myself that I'm going to work and honestly, I was praying all the time so that I can get that car. My prayer was actually, if I don't get it, then my husband must get it.
I remember the first time that I saw actually a video. It was from you. From the WhatsApp when you were here. Then you were showing the car. Hey guys, yo, this car. I'm gonna win this car. What?
I'm claiming it.
Yeah. For me, at that time, I didn't really care because I didn't join the business at that time. You know,
yes.
I was like, okay, it's one of those things, you know, like you have a 50-50% chance you can get it, you might not get it, you know, because there's a lot of people, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, so even when, probably a week before the actual draw, because of I think I joined 2 months before the draw.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think a week before the draw, I knew that the car was ours because I remember I was also, I'm telling you, no, don't stress about this car, man. You stress a lot. Don't stress. The car is ours. Let's just go to church. And then I remember on the 31st, we went to church and we were doing a all-night prayer. And then, you know, we prayed about it and then we started our fasting.
Mm.
Was it the 30-day fasting or 20-day fasting?
21 days.
21 days, no? Yeah, we did. Yeah, and then we fasted, and then on the Friday, that was our last day of fasting,
mm-hmm.
and we were breaking the fast,
mm.
and then we went to church.
Then
all night prayer,
mm-hmm.
and then from all night prayer. We drove home and we slept like 30 minutes.
I couldn't sleep because I was thinking of the car.
And then we went to the Picanto.
Mm.
And then we drove the Picanto. And then I remember on the Picanto, I told you, baby, do you have your license?
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, because on the highway.
Yeah, like, because you're coming with the car. You're like, no, I don't have it. I'm like, why did you leave it? And when we got here and then they said, Sibonjavu!
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. I didn't feel it. Like, I was like, but.
Because you knew.
Yeah, because
wow.
I was like, yeah. I was just surprised when you were falling. I'm like, what's happening?
Yo, like, I was shocked. Yo. No, I was actually shocked because you got the car with 5 entries and I had like 60 something or 70. I was like, what? Wow. Like, yeah, I was very shocked. That's why.
And there's a lesson in that sometimes you don't need to have millions for you to actually succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you don't have to be from a rich family for you to succeed.
Mm.
Sometimes just take one yes then your life change. You know, sometimes it just takes you to make a commitment into something for your life to change. You know, just commit into something. True. You know, whether the chances of your success are less, but just go for it. Yeah. because you don't know what tomorrow holds for you. You know, God can change your circumstances. In any time.
Just like that,
you know. So have faith in whatever you do and commit to it. That's all, you know.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. Yeah, I was stressing about the car because I wanted the car. Like I said, I was very stressed with my car, my Picanto. It was stressing me. It was stressing me because I remember I had an accident with it. There was a lot of problems there. I couldn't even fix it because it was not even covered by insurance because I had financial problems. I couldn't even pay for insurance, so when they bumped me, I couldn't even fix the car because of I didn't have insurance, so it was just cash. I remember you were helping me fix the car, but we couldn't even finish. We were just doing it biggie. But I just didn't want the car. So when I saw the Kaiga, I just wished it on myself that I get the car because I wanted a new car. I was just tired of that gold rocket.
And shame that gold rocket.
Yeah,
you never drive it anymore.
I can't drive. I've neglected it.
Yeah, so hence we like, you know what, just put it in Uber. You know, so yeah. But it's amazing how we do the business together. And sometimes like the business also has its own challenges. And especially what I've learned also is that in business, especially if you're working with your partner, it's, you know, there's a thin line between business and personal life. And sometimes we tend to shift from personal life to business. And sometimes when we own personal life, you find yourself doing business, you know? Yeah, so sometimes, you know, it affects that. But, you know, we learn from these things and we move forward from it.
No, I know it for sure. Because obviously right now the aim is to reach rank 9. I know when we get rank 9, we'll have a lot of people under us who will be doing the trainings and doing the things that we're doing. So it will we will not be doing a lot of things. Then we will have time to, you know, bond again, because now there's no time. Honestly, I want to see myself in Dubai and I cannot afford to miss it. I remember last year when they were going to Zanzibar, I couldn't sleep. Pechino even wrote on the blue on the group, it was like, yo guys, why is like you distracted? Are you guys are not working? Yo, I was really distracted. I could, like, I had so much FOMO. I had, you know, like I this year I told myself I cannot be left behind. So I have to fight for rank 9. So I know when I get there, that's when I'll at least rest, you know, because that will be my target or my goal for this year.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And also what I've learned is that, as you are saying that, you know, we need to fight for it. And the great thing is that also when God has made that time for it, it will happen.
Exactly.
No one can stop it, you know. So there's always time for everything and we need to.
Yep.
You know, so yeah.
I actually made him sign up because I know what he's capable of. I know he's also business minded. I know that he's not lazy. I know that, I mean, like we've said, we've done a lot of businesses together. So I think with him, he was actually very busy with his other things. So I was very patient with him. But eventually, when he really saw that Drewpoint is really changing our lives, then that's when he was like, you know what, let me just join in and do this together with my wife.
Now, I think she did mention that now the target is rank 9. You know, as I said earlier, like sometimes it, you know, it contradicts our working relationship sometimes, and sometimes we fight there and there, but the most important thing is that we know that we want to reach rank 9, and when we reach rank 9, then we also, there's other stuff that you'll then be doing, but we're learning also that in the process we need to always come together. You know, because sometimes business in general has a way of drifting people apart. You know, but we always need to remember what brought us together.
Yes.
Yeah.
no, definitely. I mentioned that we were looking for a place. Yeah, then we did get a place. We're now staying at a new place. When did we move?
1st of April.
Yeah, we moved 1st of April. So now at least we have our own place. We're staying with my younger son, and the other son is still staying with my grandmother, but we're planning to take him with us next year. So yeah, it's been amazing because the reason why we are actually staying with the in-laws is because we couldn't afford getting our own place. But Dewpoint actually helped us with that now, because now we are staying at our own place. We can pay rent. Obviously, we're planning to buy. Yeah, so.
So we got traditionally married or customary married in 2022 December, right? Yeah, on the 18th. That's when I paid my lobola. And then she went to the Eastern Cape. Yeah, to Godiza. I don't know what what they call it in English, to Godiza.
I don't know what it's called as well.
Yeah, so she went there and then, and then we then moved to my dad's place. Okay, normally also traditionally in our culture, the wife as a new bride, she needs then to go and Godiza for a year to the in-law. Then she was there at home. Then she stayed there. Then we stayed there for a year, where she then learned our tradition as the Xhosa and how we do things and stuff like that. Then from there, then we then moved out the following year. There's no we don't pay in cows.
They pay cash. cash on the table.
Yeah, I remember that day. Yo, I was running. I think it was on a Sunday, no? It was on a Sunday, because I remember I woke up in the morning.
Oh yeah, it was a Sunday. You had to go to the airport.
Yeah, to withdraw cash.
Yes.
Because I couldn't withdraw it in the ATM.
Oh yes.
So I take all the cash, put it in the bag, and then
all of it for me. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And then we did the signing thing. When was it? 23 April.
Yeah, then on the 23 April, and then we went to Home Affairs, then we signed.
Then I changed my surname. Mm-hmm. So it's no more Molayi, it's Ndlovu.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
How does it feel to be Ndlovu?
Great. Feels amazing.
Yeah, some people are not used to. They're like, can please speak to Tsihomolayi. I'm like, I don't know Tsihomolayi.
It's so Ndlovu.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. No. I think because we wanna create wealth, and we wanna sustain the wealth, and have different types of income stream. You know, so. I'm currently, there's a business that we're working on that probably by the end of the year it will be running. So that will also become our legacy that you are building from. So Dewpoint and other income streams that you'll be building, we're still going to continue with those as well. Because you can never have enough income streams. You need to have a lot of income streams. So that wherever you encounter problems, you know that you are covered in another department.
I believe that it's something that I've learned, because like I said, everything changed when I wanted to go to school and I couldn't even continue because of financial circumstances at home. So that changed because I had to go and hustle. I think it started there. That's why in the beginning I mentioned that, you know, if you don't do it for yourself, nobody's going to do it for you. So the main reason I'm actually doing Dewpoint, and it's because I don't want my kids to go through what I've went through, you know, wanting to go to school and not being able to pay for school fees. Because I remember I wanted to go to school so bad, and it was very painful because my peers, the people that I was in matric with, they were at school. You know, they were at university, but I couldn't finish. I think I did like 2 months. They chased me out because they couldn't pay for my school fees. So that that's changed. You know, I told myself, okay, I don't want to make my kids to be in the same situation that I was in. I'll be very disappointed with myself because I know how it feels. And obviously, they will feel the very same way. So I'm doing this because I want them to have a secured future where they'll be able to, if they want to go to school, they'll go to school. Like, you know, it's that thing of saying whatever dreams that I'm having right now, I know I will not achieve them with my job, with a job, you know, because obviously our jobs are making us broke, because instead of rejoicing when you get paid, you are stressed because money is going there, debit orders, you know, debts and all of this, the cars and all of that. So I knew that getting that beautiful house that I want, my job is not going to get me that. Getting that beautiful car that I want, my job is not going to get me that. Getting that comfortable life that I want, my job was not going to get me that. So I'm hungry. I'm where I am because I'm hungry, and I moved from doing my job doing my job to doing Jewpoint full time because I saw that Jewpoint is the one that's going to get me to where I want to go with my dreams, getting that house, getting that car, having that comfortable life, you know, financially free, not be able to worry about I need to pay this, need to pay that for my kids, you know. And also I'm somebody who likes going out, you know, going away. I saw Jewpoint where they take you away every year, you know. So all the things that I've dreamed of, like, they are here in Jewpoint.
Okay, for me, what I think drives me, it's wanting better for myself, and I think I was born with hustling, because even like when I graduated and I got a job, and I was an assistant advertising manager, and I was earning well, but I left it because I don't find joy in answering questions. Why are you late? Or why are you doing this? Or why didn't you do that? You know. But I find that I love my independency. I love my freedom, and freedom comes when you are. Or rather, when you own your own time, when you can decide, I will do this, and when you decide, you won't do this.
Mm.
But as soon as someone else tells you what to do and when to do it and how to do it and when to go to the toilet and when not to go to, when to eat and when not to eat, then you're not free. Then you are controlled, you know. So for me, I always loved my freedom. So that became the reason why I wanted to, you know, start my businesses or hustle and find a way to make my own money.
And be your own boss.
And be my own boss. And be able also to empower others. Because for me, my passion, I think also it's the calling of mine. It's empowering other people. You know, it's thinking for the next person before myself. You know, it's always saying, did you eat? No, I haven't eaten. Okay, no, take my plate. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I do that, then I'm investing in myself as well. Indirectly, I'm investing in myself because I know that the best investment that you can ever do is investing in another person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are not there, your children might be taking, someone else might take care of them, because mm-hmm. that's the result of me, you know. My parents, when they passed on, someone else had to take care of me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's one of the things that makes me to actually hustle harder so that I can have the money that I can also help to help others.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, like, I've always known her characteristics and what makes her and what drives her. I always knew that, and I think I always also told her that, which your passion in things, especially if you, because she has this thing of when she loves something, she becomes obsessed over that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That any other thing doesn't exist except that thing, you know. And that's a good trait, you know, that because it gives you focus. Mm. And that's what you need. You need focus. You know, it's like what we call a lion, you know. A lion, it doesn't look for any other thing. If it sees what it wants, it goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether any other animal comes and passes it, it doesn't care. It just goes for
it.
It's a bullseye, yeah. It just goes for it, you know. So that's what she has, you know. She goes for what she believes in, and she goes for what she loves, and that's a recipe for success, you know.
I'm Ndlovukazi.
Yeah, she's a Ndlovukazi, and then I'm a Ndlov.
Yes.
Ukacheni buya benyathi, yes.
Kevu. What do you mean?
I've never seen that one. But thank you.
What do you want?